You're listening to HP3R, Higher Power Ranger Recovery Radio. All recovery, all the time. Thank you for listening, and I hope that you enjoy this episode. Today on Recovery Buddies with David, we're going to talk about one of the questions from the Voices of Recovery workbook, specifically the one for September 14th. For any of you dear listeners who may not be familiar with it, Voices of Recovery is a daily reader often recommended to OA members. There is a statement in OA meetings that goes something like, "Many of our members find that reading our literature on a daily basis helps reinforce how to work the 12 steps." When you hear that, what the person is referring to is literature like Voices of Recovery. The other well-known daily reader is called For Today. Both books contain short entries that are about a page long and can be read in a few minutes. The daily entries for Voices of Recovery tend to begin with a quote from the OA 12 and 12, whereas For Today entries often begin with quotes from a variety of sources. If you decide to purchase either daily reader, then you'll have the option to purchase the companion workbooks, which contain journaling questions. Okay, so now that everyone knows what Voices of Recovery is, let's talk about that September 14th question. The entry in the reader talks about fasting and restricting behavior, with the anonymous author reflecting on a time in their life when they restricted in order to be very thin. The author describes their restricting behavior as something that made them feel powerful and like they were winning the war with their body. Now, it is clear from the rest of the entry that the author knows that being at war with our bodies is the wrong attitude to have when we seek to have a healthy relationship with food. But I understand how the author felt. Years ago, I had days and nights when I thought it would be so nice if I could just cut some of the fat off my body. Which might sound really scary, but isn't that what liposuction is? Also, dear listener, for those of you who have heard Welcome Home read aloud at meetings, I would remind you that there is a line in there that says, "If you could melt yourself and mold yourself and shape yourself into what other people think you should be." That line is my favorite part of Welcome Home because it reminds me of a time when I felt possessed by such conflict-driven thoughts. I remember how dark those thoughts felt, and the way my skin crawled and my eyes swelled with tears, because I knew just how much desperation permeated from such a notion. So yeah, I understand why someone would think of themselves as being at war with their body, and if you are one of those people, then please know there is a better way to see yourself, to love yourself and your body while working towards a healthy weight. Now, I hope everyone listening knows that it is very dangerous to restrict yourself either through under-eating, excessive exercise, or some combination of the two. I am no medical expert, but with just an hour of research, I found articles in medical journals that discuss how malnutrition and under-eating can damage your heart, your digestive system, your reproductive organs, and even your brain. You can actually starve yourself to the point that your body will start to consume portions of your brain. That is insane! Maybe I will do an episode about the dangers of malnutrition and undereating in the future, or on Daily Dose of Recovery, but for now, let's get back to talking about the Voices of Recovery entry for September 14th. The entry ends with this statement. There are no quick fixes. The way to truly be a winner is by following a healthy plan of eating and working the steps every day. I completely agree that there are no quick fixes, and we do need to have a healthy approach to how we treat our body. That means nurturing our body with exercise, a productive day, and positive thinking while also nourishing our body with healthy eating. I use those two words very intentionally, nurturing and nourishing, because that is the way I treat my body when it comes to my food plan and action plan. I am not at war with the fat cells on my body. That would actually be pointless. Healthy eating habits result through educating ourselves about our body's needs and the nature of our compulsive eating relationship with food. For me, I am an emotional compulsive eater, which means I recognize that I was using the food to make me feel better when I experienced negative emotions like fear, anger, and low self-esteem. The biggest instigator of my eating to feel better was loneliness. Now we come to the thing I really wanted to talk about, the workbook question. And full disclosure, the question provided in the workbook got, as my grandmother would say, my Irish blood up, meaning it made me a little mad when I wrote my first response. And I freely admit that in my initial response, I did not fully answer the question. But once I realized that oversight on my part, I went back and wrote a second entry to provide a full and complete answer. The question in the workbook has two parts. In my first response, I answered only the first half, which reads, "Do I equate thin with happy?" I didn't make it to the end of that sentence because those words were enough to set my pencil to paper and blaze away. This is what I wrote in my first response back on September 14th. "Do I equate thin with happy? Oh yes, yes I do. But it would be more accurate to say healthy in place of thin. I am a happier person today than I was 2 years ago, and it is absolutely directly related to the fact that I am healthier. I have not yet reached my goal weight, and it will probably take me at least 2 more years to get there. But yes, yes, 1,000 times yes, being thinner, healthier makes me happier. I can drive my truck now without being uncomfortable. A few weeks ago, I drove my dad's truck for the first time in a decade because I could fit behind the wheel. So, heck yes, being thinner means I'm healthier. It means I'm more alive and have many more possibilities. And yes, that makes me happier. I can buy more clothes today than I could 2.5 years ago because I'm not limited to buying only clothes from specifically big and tall men's stores. I can walk for 2 miles continuously. I used to struggle to walk to the mailbox. I've dropped 5 sizes when it comes to my shirts. I can put my shoes and socks on without a Herculean effort. I can bend over to pick things up from the floor. Some people dream of millions of dollars, of fame, and great love affairs. I dream of walking on a beach and not having my feet sinking halfway up to my shins. I dream of people treating me like a fellow human being, one who they look in the eyes when speaking with, and not someone they cringe away from because I'm an obese monster that they think is disgusting or that they can mess with. I dream of buying clothes from any store that sells them. I dream of traveling across the United States and seeing the sun rise out of the Atlantic Ocean. And until you have weighed as much as I have weighed, you will never understand just how impossible those dreams are for someone like me unless I reach a healthy body weight. Maybe you look at a man who weighs around 250 pounds, which technically makes him obese, and you think to yourself, he's fat, he needs to lose some weight. I look at him and think, wow, he's so free. That's the end of what I wrote in my first response to the question. And it's all true. I share it here with you, dear listener, not for sympathy or to argue that I'm special. Being overweight doesn't make you special. If anything, it just makes life and your overall general health more difficult. I am sharing what I wrote to offer the perspective of my story, my life experiences, which I do not often hear discussed in OA meetings except for the 100-pounder meetings. But even there, I rarely hear about someone who needed to lose as much weight as I have lost and still need to lose. You see, most people don't fully realize what the world is like for someone who is morbidly obese, let alone someone who weighed as much as I did. And why would you? You haven't experienced life at that size. And like the old saying goes, you cannot understand someone until you've walked a mile in their shoes. But when you've been as big as I was, you can't even walk a mile. Like I said, just walking to the mailbox and back was challenging. Later, I came back to my journal and wrote a second response to the workbook question because, as I said, I wanted to give a complete answer. So the entire question from the workbook is, do I equate thin with happy? Or do I also recognize the importance of emotional and spiritual recovery? What brings me happiness today? This is what I wrote the second time I sat down and considered the question in its entirety. Yes, I do equate thin, or as I wrote earlier, healthy, with happy. And yes, I also recognize the importance of emotional and spiritual recovery. I am an emotional compulsive eater. It is my darker emotions that drove me to use food as a way to feel better. And like a drug, the consumption of so much food made me feel good in the moment, but ultimately made my problems worse by leading to more weight gain, which meant less mobility and more isolation. I know for myself that it is my hope, my reliance on a higher power of my choosing, and knowing for certain that I am worthy of living a healthy life that keeps me going. That is the source of my strength that gives me my drive, my determination, my discipline. So where did my hope, faith, and feeling of worth come from? They came from my emotional and spiritual recovery that I achieved through learning and implementing the OA tools and principles. The second part of the question asks, what brings me happiness today? Well, having friendships with people I have met in the program is the first thing that comes to mind. At meetings, I know I have a space to speak freely and safely about what I'm dealing with in my life when it comes to food and addiction. That acceptance and respect means a great deal when it comes to breaking the feelings of isolation and doubt that in the past led to me feeling like a freak and a monster. But the friendships, the connecting with people outside of meetings and for non-program related reasons, is a treasure that cannot be weighed or quantified. Those times when I'm with people, laughing together and sharing our lives like normal folks out there that I never felt a part of, does so much to give me happiness and reasons to love life. Other things that make me happy today are being active and productive each and every day, rather than laying in my bed, feeling helpless and doomed, like I'm just waiting to die. I'm alive now, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Today, this day, and I will continue to nurture and nourish that feeling in my body and soul for every day that is yet to come. Before OA and my recovery journey, I did not feel this alive and had not felt this way for years. Abstaining from compulsive eating allows me to function better. I think better, I have more energy, and I'm able to examine all the craziness that used to drive my compulsions and make my life miserable. As a result, the longer I maintain my abstinence, meaning the longer I maintain a healthy use of food, the more productive my life becomes. Working towards all my goals, as well as discovering new goals along the way. The most important goal I am progressing towards is losing weight, which improves my health and overall quality of life, and helps me in every way, shape, form, and emotional venue. because I don't want to die from being obese. I don't want health problems from being obese. And I don't want to be isolated because I literally do not fit in any public space. I have had to worry about such things my entire life, and I really want to not have to worry about them anymore. I am no longer afraid to step into unknown possibilities by trying my very best every day. I feel that this is the purpose of recovery. We have all been living in our disease and misery for so long. We occupied that space of self-destructive behavior for far too much time. And through recovery, we find our way out of addiction into those new undiscovered possibilities. I don't know if the grass will be greener in those new possibilities, but at least it will be grass instead of manure. That's the end of my second response to the journal question. Like I said when I first responded to the question, it's not really thinness that I'm after, it's healthiness and safety. I want to live a healthier life because that means more freedom and possibilities. It means having good blood pressure, not having to worry about heart disease, and feeling safe in my mind because I have a better chance to live a long and full life at a healthy weight rather than what my life was like when I was deep in the dark trap. A healthy body weight means more choices that I can make when I ask myself, "So, David, what do you want to do today?" And every choice that I can follow through on that doesn't involve sitting in front of the TV, stuffing my face with excessive amounts of food, is another dream come true for someone like me. I have already lived the terrible nightmare of isolation when I was at my maximum weight. The fat encumbered not just my body, but also my mind and my soul. The workbook for Voices of Recovery asks about spiritual and emotional recovery, but I could just as easily equate the word recovery with liberation. My healthy eating and weight loss has created spiritual and emotional liberation. And I share all of this with you, dear listener, because I hope that by hearing about my experiences and successes, that you will know that you can find recovery in a program like OA, because what one person can do, another can do. Speaking of other people, there is a woman I work with who is on her own journey pursuing weight loss and physical fitness. Now, she is not in OA, but during the last few months, we have had a continuing conversation about the reasons for why both of us want to reach our goal weights. A while back, she shared part of what motivates her, and I was so moved by her brute honesty and sincerity that I asked if I could share her thoughts here on Recovery Buddies, to which she said she'd be honored to be included in the conversation. This is what my colleague wrote. "Maybe it is shallow and cruel of me to know that I would never love myself if I didn't like what my appearance reflected. But it is deeper than that. Loving yourself has more to do with just feeling good about yourself. But personally, I knew I could never truly be happy without truly loving myself. I decided life is too short to not know how it feels to be happy in this lifetime. I became honest with myself and asked myself, what would make you happy? My answer at the time was to be skinny and feel good. No doubt about it. You look good, you feel good. Anyway, as time passed by, I came to realize being happy is a choice. I cannot keep telling myself, I'll be happy when... dot, dot, dot. If I keep that up, I will never be happy because there will always be a new goal I'm chasing after until I can finally be happy. But I can be happy now. I think that is all I ever wanted in this lifetime. Now I have learned loving myself is not just simple acceptance of my identity, flaws and all. To me, loving myself means being honest and putting in the work to be my favorite, good version of myself. Self-love is not accepting your faults. Rather, it is working on them while holding yourself accountable. We all know how much work that is and how admirable it is, loving yourself enough to dig yourself out of the hole you put yourself in. It would be so much easier to continue my bad habits, but it is so much nicer that I didn't. I literally went from my eyes watering to my own reflection to now checking out my reflection every chance I get. Going through this weight loss journey has shifted the way I view everything. Now, when I look at the gym, it's not a chore, but a blessing. We are absolutely blessed to even be able to move our bodies when we are able to work out. That's the end of my colleague's message. And when I first read it, I couldn't help but smile at her passion and motivation, as well as the fact that she is closing in on her healthy body weight. She's been on her path for a while, but she didn't have as far to travel as I do when it comes to numbers on the scale. But in her passionate statements, I see that she had just as far to go when it came to believing in herself, loving herself, and embracing the necessary work to bring about change. I am glad she is doing so well. I'm glad that when she looks in the mirror, she isn't about to cry for bad reasons, but instead smiling at her own comfort, mobility, freedom, and confidence. So I say again, the answer to the question, do I equate thinness with happiness, can be a very healthy and logical yes. I do not feel ashamed of feeling that way, because again, most people have not experienced what it is like to weigh as much as I have in my life. Now, again, that is not to say that someone has to be morbidly obese to justify wanting to be a healthy weight. Look at my colleague's journey. Her improved happiness is well earned and should not be attacked because she rejoices at how much happier she is now. My intention throughout this episode has been to emphasize that there are physical realities and differences that result from being at a healthy body weight. You do not have to have been as heavy as I was to be able to answer yes to the question, so long as your goal is to reach a healthy weight and not an arbitrary number that you think will validate you as a person. Anyone who wants to achieve certain physical fitness for their own reasons and satisfaction can answer yes. You can pursue physical fitness goals in a healthy manner. The defining factor when it comes to whether you are pursuing a healthy course of action is, are you doing it for yourself or are you doing it for someone else? If you are doing it for yourself, then odds are you are doing it for the right reasons. There are many reasons why I want to reach a healthy body weight, where I am no longer overweight. And as I have progressed in my journey, I have gained new experiences that are a direct result of my weighing significantly less than I did at my maximum weight. A perfect example of this occurred this past holiday weekend when I rode in my brother's Tesla for the first time ever. The ability to physically fit into that front seat was only possible because I have lost so much weight. It is a physical reality, a fact, and not something for debate or opinion. Am I supposed to deny the happiness of that moment? No, I am not. But I didn't work to achieve that experience for anyone else other than myself, and I got there by relying on my higher power and working my program. Now, again, I understand the caution that is assigned to the question, do I equate thin with happy, because we do not want to develop a dependency on a number that appears on a scale for whether or not we feel good about ourselves. But getting to live life, getting to have experiences with my family, that is absolutely something worth feeling good about and pursuing as a goal. Even within my weight loss support group, I sometimes encounter people who try to discourage me, even though their intention is to offer comfort and reassurance. Some of the women in the groups will tell me that I don't have to be thin, and usually they're trying to reassure me that not all women are looking for a man with a flat stomach and a big muscular chest. I smile at their kind efforts, but then I explain to them that I'm not trying to reach 200 pounds and a flat stomach for them or any other woman. I'm doing it for myself. I want to feel safe in my body. For example, if you've listened to the trauma episode of this podcast, then you might remember that I mentioned that back in junior high, during PE classes, guys would come up to me and grab or touch my chubby chest in inappropriate ways. This shocked me and made me feel uncomfortable. They violated my personal space and used sexual language to taunt me. Their actions back then, and similar ones that occurred in the years that followed, made me dress to protect myself by covering up in clothes that were way too big. Now, I'm the kind of guy who enjoys wearing sweaters and hoodies during this time of year because it's cold. But being so overweight, I spent years avoiding wearing sweaters and hoodies in public because, as anyone who has ever worn one knows, when you take them off over your head, you run the risk of your shirt being pulled up. And in my past, there were people who targeted me when my stomach and chest were exposed. They mocked me, shouted insults and slurs, and sometimes tried to grab me. And these incidents that I'm referring to right now, they occurred after high school. No one should be made to feel so afraid and so ashamed. Not then, not now, not ever. Now, I want to acknowledge that this episode is being published a few days late because of my busy schedule, due to the holiday weekend, responsibilities at work, and service commitments I have in OA. But there is a silver lining to my tardiness, because today, the day that I am recording, is December 1st. Now, I only weigh myself once a month on the first of each month. I find that this keeps my stress levels low. Last month, when I weighed in, I was 3 pounds away from the halfway point towards reaching my healthy goal weight. Today, I found out that I've lost another 11 pounds, so I am now 8 pounds past that halfway point, which is a wonderful, fantastic feeling. My progress has paid dividends. I can now wear many hoodies and sweaters that were either given to me as gifts or that I bought for myself in years past, but I had not previously worn any of them because they did not fit, but now they do. And, as I said, I'm only halfway to my journey's end, so I still hesitate to wear those sweaters and hoodies in public because if I go indoors somewhere and want to take the sweater slash hoodie off, I'm not sure who might mess with me if my shirt becomes momentarily dislodged. An obvious solution is to tuck my shirt into my pants, but wearing my shirt that way has also made me a target because of how high my belt rides on my stomach. It just doesn't look good, and people like to point, stare, and make jokes, which sucks. So, what's the solution? To never wear a hoodie or sweater again? Or to work on losing weight, becoming healthier, and then feel more confident and comfortable in my body so that I can wear any clothing that I want? I think I will take option 2. Remember how the September 14th entry ended with, "The way to truly be a winner is by following a healthy plan of eating and working the steps every day." Well, when I am on my walk in the park, I like to listen to audiobooks, podcast episodes, or music. And when I'm listening to music, the last song that I play when I make the final turn to head back towards my truck is "The Winner" by Tyrone Briggs. There's a line in the lyric that says, "I'm a winner. I was born one." Now, the song is about passion and hard work, putting in the effort and achieving results. But that line, "I'm a winner. I was born one," in particular, is an affirmation that I think anyone working on improving themselves needs to hear, because we each have what it takes to follow a healthy plan of eating and work the steps every day in order to win, in order to lose weight, become more productive, and live a better life. That's what winning is. That's how someone like me can lose hundreds of pounds and not have to live in fear of gaining it all back, because I am vigilant and I am sustained by the fellowship and my higher power. So, While I do equate thin with being happy, I don't feel that it is a bad thing, because for me, reaching a weight where I am no longer obese or overweight is as much about saving my life as it is about finally getting to live my life. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode. I thank you for listening and hope that you enjoyed what I had to say. Remember, dear listener, you, me, and everyone in this fellowship is worthy of recovery. You can have a healthy relationship with food that leads to a healthy body. You are worthy of that. All it takes is time, consistency, and willingness. I'll talk to you next time, buddy. You've been listening to HP3R, Higher Power Ranger Recovery Radio. All recovery, all the time. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing to the podcast and leaving a review. If you'd like to send us an email, then write to hp3rpodcast@gmail.com. Remember to tune in on Thursdays for episodes of Daily Dose of Recovery, and check back on Mondays for future episodes of Recovery Buddies with David, here on HP3R.